welcome to this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And the main monthly show is coming your way very, very shortly. We pre-recorded the main monthly show at the Heat and Hops on Wednesday evening. However, this bit of the show, the introduction, if you will, this is being recorded on Friday lunchtime. And that's because there's been some big news out of Matlock Town over the last 24 hours or so. And that's with regards to manager Paul Phillips, who's announced he's leaving the club. And to discuss this news now, down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by Matthew Rhodes from North Derbyshire Radio, who also helps out with the media side at the club. Well, Matthew, a big thank you for joining us, and dramatic news on Thursday with Paul Phillips standing down as manager of Matlock Town. He's done a remarkable job at the club and a brilliant season last year. I mean, what's your thoughts on the news?
Well, I was very surprised when I heard about it and saddened by it from the club's perspective, because it was a really good season for them last time around, and it's been a bit of a mixed start to the season. Obviously, plenty of time to, you know, shoot up the table and get things improved in that final third on the attacking front. So I was surprised, yeah, and curious, so kind of curious to see where the club goes from here.
Just to touch upon what Paul Phillips achieved, especially last season, Matlock involved in the title race for a very significant portion of last season, fading away. It was looking a bit, you know, at one point, are Matlock going to drop out the playoffs? But solidifying to get themselves into the playoffs, a brilliant year last year, and quite an achievement from Paul Phillips, the squad, and all the backroom staff as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was just a real rejuvenated season for Matlock. It kind of got mentioned a bit, especially from Philo, as in, like, he didn't want them to be seen as little old Matlock anymore. I think he actually refers to that exact statement in his resignation statement. But yeah, it was a rejuvenated season for the Gladiators, and just felt like the atmosphere was a lot better than it has been in past years at the club. He's a perfectionist, so I know that he doesn't see that last season as a success, because success for him is only a trophy. So he'd have only been satisfied if they'd won the title or won the playoffs. So I know he doesn't see it as a success, but for the club as a whole, it was very, very good. It's just, I know he'll see it as a big shame that they couldn't quite keep on going in that final third of the season, and the problems are still continuing up front. That's where the only problem is with Matlock. So he'll be sad that he wasn't able to sort of fix that problem while he was at Matlock. But he's got a lot to be proud of with what he achieved at the club. So of course, he got them through the whole coronavirus pandemic, leading the club since then. Within his first few days, literally within his first week in charge, was the week in which Jordan Sinnott passed away. So literally his first task as manager of the club was to try and deal with that with a squad and a whole committee that was obviously totally shocked by what happened. So there are a lot of huge challenges. So, yeah, he's still got a lot to be, you know, very pleased and proud about with what he did at Matlock.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we've had Paul Phillips on the show loads of times, caught up with him, not just in this role, but in previous roles as well. And sending our best wishes to Paul, and all the best for the future. I'm pretty sure we'll catch up again in the near future. Speaking about what's next for Matlock, obviously, at time of recording, we were recording this at Friday lunchtime, no news as yet on replacements and that kind of thing. But it's the FA Cup this weekend, you know, Ilkeston coming to Causeway Lane. It's going to be a tricky game. What's your thoughts on this weekend and what happens next at the club?
Well, in terms of the Ilkeston one, it'll be a bit of a strange game. I kind of see it as a little bit of a free hit with it not being a league game. So it's kind of like, certainly not a disaster if they were to lose. The main thing is to, you know, concentrate on the league, which is, I know, an old cliche, but I guess kind of true for this game. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one, because obviously Ilkeston haven't started very well. So, yeah, it'll be a little bit of a strange game, that one. In terms of the future for Matlock, all I'd want to see, and I'm pretty certain a lot of Matlock fans would agree, is that They just want to make sure whoever the next manager is, they have the same sort of ambition on the pitch at the club. Because I know Matlock are doing loads and loads in terms of doing stuff off the pitch, like getting involved with stuff like Her Game 2 and making sure it's more of a family-friendly club and getting more higher attendances in. But I really do hope that the manager at the club is, you know, just as passionate and just as ambitious on the pitch, because no one wants Matlock to just go back to just being run-of-the-mill, also-rans, or just flirting with a relegation battle. That'll be really, really sad. So I really do hope that whoever the manager is, it's just someone very, very ambitious. That's what I'd like to see.
No, absolutely. Matt Rhodes from North Derbyshire Radio. We should say you do all the post-match interviews and that side of things and help out at the club. So just a quick plug for your work as well and all the reaction to the past 24 hours or so at the club, but also the post-match reactions and stuff from the Ilkeston game in the FA Cup this weekend. How could people keep across it all at the club?
Yeah. So, there'll be the usual stuff on Matlock Town's own social media in terms of the actual match day coverage. And, obviously there won't be a post-match interview with Philo anymore, but that will either be Cade Coppin or Steve Shuttleworth. That'll be answering to media after that game. But North Derbyshire Radio Sports, which has its own social media account now, that'll be sort of covering the reaction to the game as well. We have our own Friday night show where we have a look at all the local teams and how they're doing. So there'll be a big focus on that. So that's where your main sources of info will come from, yeah.
Great stuff. Well, Matthew Rhodes from North Derbyshire Radio, a big thank you for joining us this week, and all the best this weekend in the FA Cup.
Cheers. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
North Derbyshire Radio's Matthew Rhodes there speaking to me on Friday lunchtime. Well, we're going to hand over now to the Heat and Hops. Just a reminder, this show is pre-recorded on Wednesday this past week, way before that news from Matlock Town. So without further ado, let's hand over to myself and the rest of the gang at the Heat and Hops on Wednesday for the main monthly review show. Well, hello everybody and welcome to August edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us here back in South Manchester at the home of the NPL show, the Heat and Hops. Big thank you to Damien for hosting us. We'll give a proper shout out shortly, but James does a good job every month of just tweeting in where we are. So exactly. Give him a follow on Twitter at Heat and Hops.
Yeah.
But round the table here at the Heat and Hops, Andrew Simps is here.
I am. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Berkey's here from 26 Nil.
I am. Hello, Ben.
And James Hayes is here, everyone.
Good evening, Ben.
We're going to be joined by Matt Carruthers shortly to have a bit of a catch up with how the season's going up in the northeast. And Andrew Snaith will also be joining us to talk about Whitby Town and Mash United. And we're also going to be joined by our friend from Yorkshire, Thomas Feeney, to talk about Geisler and Liversidge. But we should start up at the top of the NPL Premier Division for this month's show. And that, Simo, is Stafford Rangers.
And who had the money on that?
It's an incredible start to the season, isn't it? We had Matt Hill on a couple of weeks ago, keeping it under the radar, as you'd come to expect at this stage of the season. We're only 6 games in. It is early days. Someone should do a hashtag with that on. What's your thoughts, Simo? What's going on at Marston Road in August?
Well, that'll be made up. I mean, we kind of queued it up in the preview show, didn't we? That, like, after their finish last season, which obviously represented an enormous improvement on what had gone before, could they kick on? A little bit of turnover of players down the spine of the team. Well, the early suggestion is they can kick on, or they're at the very least as strong as they were. I did want to kind of chuckle to myself on Monday, wondered how annoyed they would be at kind of losing to Bell, because it could have been even better, but that would be a little bit unfair to pull them up for that. But yeah, 13 points in the bag. One of the things I was looking for this season is how they would kind of replace the goals of Jake Charles, how that was going to happen. Well, the answer is they've spread it around the team so far. They've scored 10 goals and had 7 different scorers in that time, which for Matt Hill will be so encouraging. We know they're nice and solid at the back, and that's probably going to continue, but it was kind of how would they shape up at the other end of the field, and so far the answer is very promising.
Yeah, the most goal scorers of any team in the division as well. I don't think it's any surprise that they're doing well. I think the surprise is that the top.
Yeah.
I think they're even surprised about it, to be honest. It was a clanger against Belper, but when they're away from home, I've seen them, you know, they're 10 men behind the ball, and they're going to look to hit teams on the break. They will shock a few teams this season, Belper, because all right, they've had a bit of a rough start, but they've had four players sent off in the first six games. You know,
a lot of sending off, isn't it? Once you knock that on the head, you should be okay, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, Belper, I don't think they're going to be rolled over too many times this season. They're not too bad. One thing I would say about Stafford is all the teams that played bar Marine down in the bottom half of the table. I know it's early days and all that for the bottom half of the table and whatnot, but I think we're already going to be seeing... I don't think the bottom half of the table is going to be too dissimilar come the end of April.
That's an early shout.
That is an early shout.
But you look at the fixtures that Stafford have got coming up this month.
Is that the test?
We'll find out a bit more.
It's an early-ish test anyway. I mean, they've got to go to Matlock. They've got Mask to play. They've got both Warringtons and Hyde as well. They're a bit of a bogey team for them. So I think we'll learn a lot more in the coming few weeks.
The team currently sitting second. There's not much separating. In fact, it's just on one goal scored, essentially. It's Ashton United currently sitting second. Played 6, won 4, drawn 1 and lost 1. Scoring 9. It's been a good start for Ashton, James.
Yes, indeed. I've developed very, very well, I think. I mean, losing Tom Bentham is going to be a big, big loss. Who's scoring for fun in the West Division at the moment. But a great result against Liver's Edge, who aren't necessarily the easiest team to play against. Great 3-0 win against Warrington Rhinelands, who were tipped to be top of the table. Mm-hmm.
Beat the other Warrington. Cleggie's team's always solid, but this season they seem to have struck gold, I think, with Sam Baird. He's grown great into player. His body now. You know, he's 23 years old. He's not the scrawny kid he was when he was at FC United. You know, he's got broad shoulders these days, alongside Matty Regan, who, you know, he's been there and done it, hasn't he? So I fully expect Ashton to be in the reckoning coming up.
We should
season.
Give a shout out for Callum Saunders.
Yeah, as well.
I said this and I see live the other day, because he popped up and scored, how that might be a bit of a masterstroke for Manchester United. Because obviously we know what the problems were last year. Cleggie couldn't put a team out that he wanted to put out.
Mm. And they didn't score many goals either. I mean, I know they did have Benton, yeah. But he didn't have a great season last year. They had Redshaw, didn't they? It didn't really happen for him at Ashton. I mean, look, it's not just Callum. They brought in Jack Kenny as well, who got off the mark. He got the goal on Monday,
yeah,
didn't
he? Yeah, he did. Took it.
But Callum... Big season for Callum, you know, it was a breakthrough year for him last year in terms of goals. Could he repeat the trick? New surroundings for him. They seem to have clicked very quickly, don't they? You know, he's in the groove straight away and could prove to be one of the signings of the season if he carries on like that.
Yeah, really good piece of the jigsaw there, I think.
Well, that is the top two currently. Like we've touched upon here, it is early days, but a very good start and encouraging start for Stafford Rangers and Ashton United. But what about South Shields? South Shields currently sit third in the table. They've not been there throughout August. They've not been beaten yet, though, which is important to say.
No. Yeah, the only team. Only team unbeaten.
And 3 wins. So let's have more now from South Shields. And on Thursday, I caught up with Mark Carruthers, football reporter from the North East.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. And let's talk about South Shields to kick things off with. Decent start to the season, but then we had those draws. However, all draws where South Shields had to come from behind. So what does that tell us about Kevin Phillips' side this season, do you feel, early doors?
I think what you're seeing is a different mentality. I often felt last season, particularly in away games, there was a fragility about South Shields. I think it was quite well reported that they had a shocking away record throughout the second half of the season in particular, and that ultimately, I think, cost them promotion and certainly the title. But this season, I look at the characters, and I always go back to recruitment with South Shields, which I think a lot of people tend to. I look at the signings they've made this summer, and I just think there's a lot of, not that you can be certain in the transfer market, but it does feel as if there's certainties in there. You know, people like Gary Little, you know, someone that's been there and done it, Michael Woods being there and done it, Mackenzie Heaney, who's done it at this level, players like that. I think they've bought well. Been really impressed with Martin Smith so far in midfield. So I think they've brought a bit of a different mentality. I think they'll be harder to beat this year, which I think they've already seen. Yeah. And it's funny because I had a chat with Kevin Phillips after the game on Monday against Morpeth, and he sort of said, you know, we took a little bit of stick after drawing some games, he said, but those draws, because of the wins that we've got, now look like good results. And he said, you know, it's just a case of keeping the momentum going, keeping trying to get these wins going, and ultimately pushing for what they want, which is promotion.
Is it time to bring out the cliches on the first monthly review show of the season and say that 1-0 wins leagues?
Well, I think what I always get told, and this isn't just from Kevin Phillips, it's from managers up here, if you average 2 points a game over a season, you're not going to be too far away. And at the minute, they're sort of around that. And I just think they've had a good start. I think there's room for improvement. I know I've seen the last two games at home, and there was definitely room for improvement. But I just feel they're starting to build a bit of momentum. Obviously, I know this weekend's an FA Cup weekend, but that will help if they can get a win against Workington. And then they've got Guiseley at home on Tuesday, which is will be a tricky one. So the next couple of games, it's a big few games for them. But I think they're on track at the moment.
Well, a good result for South Shields against Morpeth on Monday. A good crowd as well, 2,200 there at Mariners Park. Before that, Morpeth were... They had a bit of momentum going behind them, didn't they? I mean, you know, fantastic victories over Hyde United, Liversidge and Matlock, bouncing back after a shaky start against Guiseley and Warrington. I mean, what do you think about Morpeth's start? We had Craig on last week and he was making the point that we're already way ahead of where we were last season. What's your thoughts?
Well, that's not difficult, given the way they started last season. But I just looking at Monday in isolation, I don't think anyone in a Morpeth shirt really did themselves justice at South Shields. I went there, and as you said, they've come on the back of three good results, you know, beating Matlock, Liversedge and Hyde. And I really thought they would go and have a right go at South Shields, and it was just a little bit standoffish. They didn't really impose themselves on South Shields, which I thought they might. Obviously, everyone knows the history between the two clubs. That didn't really happen. And it was just, it wasn't what I expected. I do think we may see a slightly different Morpeth this season. You know, they've got a very pacey front three in Foley, Pearson and Connor Thompson. But they didn't really make an impact on South Shields on Monday, and that was a big disappointment. I think Morpeth this season, as Craig said, that they've already improved on where they were at this point last year. But I think they should be in around the playoffs. But they do need the big players to start showing up in bigger games. And hopefully that'll start this weekend against Warrington.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you mentioned big games there. This is a big game, and in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup, Warrington Town, the two have already played each other already. How important do you think it is for Morpeth, given, you know, how handy the FA Cup run was for them last year?
Yeah, it was notable after the game on Monday that when I spoke to Craig Lynch about the Warrington game, he sort of referred back to the fact they were very, very close to getting to the first round last year. Obviously pushed York City all of the way. Got to a replay and ultimately, you know, were beaten in the end. But the FA Cup, because they've never been to the first round, is the, you know, the crown jewel for them. That's what they want. They're trying to get there. But it's a really tough game. You mentioned there, you know, playing Warrington. Obviously, the opening day of the season got to be 2-0 down there with two ridiculously late goals. But Morpeth, again, I think that day maybe just didn't do themselves justice. So, you know, that'll probably act as a driver, along with the motivation of trying to reach the FA Cup first round for the first time. So it'll be an interesting one, that one. It's difficult to call.
And just while we're talking about the FA Cup, we should mention South Shields game as well. They've got a tricky game against Workington. Workington not had the best of starts, but you just think it's only a matter of time with Danny Granger in charge there. That will click. It's a tough test, though, isn't it, for Workington away at South Shields? What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, it's one of them, I think, with Workington. I think nobody expected them to start the season in the manner that they have. But I look at the quality they've got on that side in the squad. You know, people like Stephen Rigg, who not so long ago was playing in the National League. They've got players with great experience, players that have been there for a long time, and a manager that's been there and done it as well. Ultimately, you would make South Shields favourites, but, and I go back to the mentality I spoke about at the start, they have to go into this game with the right mentality, because I think despite the poor start of the season, Workington will punish them if South Shields just aren't at it. So it is a test for South Shields, but I'd argue it's probably a bigger one for Wigan.
And just before we go, Matt, just a quick plug for your work. I've not asked you this. I've not done any prep about where you're off to this weekend, but I'm assuming you're off somewhere. So where are you going, and how could people keep across your work this weekend and beyond?
Do you know what? I've got to be honest, I'm still unsure.
you've got plenty to choose from, haven't you? You are a bit spoilt.
I am. I think I'm going to Dunstan. Dunstan UTS in the FA Cup. But as yet, I haven't spoke to the local paper up here, so I'm unsure. But I've just been bogged down in covering transfers higher up the pyramid, which has been kind of distracting for the moment.
Very distracting.
But I think it'll probably be Dunstan because I haven't seen them yet this season. Obviously, they've got that FA Cup game and a very tough FA Cup game as well against City of Liverpool. So I'm going to say there, but that could change over the next 24 hours.
And that's Mark Carruthers _, isn't it, on Twitter? And
it is, yes.
That kind of thing. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us this week. Have a lovely time at Dunstan or somewhere else on Saturday, and keep up the excellent work and catch up soon.
Mark Rivers there, football reporter from the northeast of England, talking about South Shields and Morpeth. Let's talk about Warrington Town, because Warrington, like South Shields, there's an expectation attached with Warrington that sure. They'll do well.
Yeah.
And Matt Beasley will be generally satisfied with...
I think he'd be a lot happier after Monday. That was actually an important win for them in the end against Nantwich. They got a late winner as well, which always makes you feel better, doesn't it? But after back-to-back wins at the start, they've kind of got a couple of disappointing results. Drew at Belper, who obviously we'll come on to later, and were pegged back by Coles. Yes, lost at Ashton on Saturday, who we've touched on, are doing really well. So just to get back to winning ways after those three games is really important for them, and I expect them just to kind of kick back on now. So yeah, big result Monday, so he'll be a lot happier after that.
And the same for Warrington Rylands as well, you'd imagine. It was not the best of starts for them.
No, they've had a very different trajectory, haven't they? Because they didn't win any of the first three games and have now won the next three and scored a ruck of goals along the way. So
is that them finding the feet?
Possibly. I mean, they'll be feeling really good now because it was a proper welcome to the Northern Premier League on the opening day, wasn't it? It was like, right, you know, this is a higher level now. They'll be in Ashton, which is no disgrace. But yeah... they've kept three clean sheets in those wins as well, which is great for them. So I don't know, but they'll feel a lot better after a worrying first 10 days.
And Berkey just 1 point now separating the two Warrington sides.
Yeah, and they play each other next Tuesday as well.
Boom.
Oh, imagine that. But Warrington Town in fifth place. Who again? Could have predicted that?
Radcliffe in between the two Warrington clubs. How happy are you at the moment?
Radcliffe had a great start, I think. I mean, mask shown. How they are going to develop a season of good, strong side. But as you saw with the goal we conceded on Monday afternoon as well, we got trapped out a little bit, made the space for Ian Linney to come in and got round the keeper and Rick Smith and Ollie Thornley straight into the back of the net. Same with when we played Hyde first game of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've beaten Matlock, you've beaten Liversidge, you've beaten FC. It's going all right.
We don't know, like I say, the capability is there to go. Radcliffe will cause some shot results later in the season. They will go and batter some teams. Absolutely.
Yeah, but will it be a shock if you're in sixth place?
Again, you look at the results, so again, the mask result proves that there is still a lot of work to do at the same time. Radcliffe can go and fall down that trap.
I think you're still gelling. Certainly on the evidence of the game that I saw, you know, although it was the first day of the season.
And again, the weather didn't exactly help any of the teams on that day at the same time.
No, but you've got a really big month ahead of you. Most of the teams you're playing down the bottom end. And if you string a set of results together, it might be an nosebleed territory.
Ooh. We just mentioned Mass United. Good result against Radcliffe, but they've had a really good start to step four. We obviously had Cal Jarrett on the show last week, didn't we? Let's have more now from that North Yorkshire area. And it's a welcome back to the show to sports presenter. Here's Mr. Andrew Snaith.
Well, Andrew, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get to Whitby Town in a second, but just to talk about Mass United to begin with. They've had a great start to the campaign, haven't they? Obviously, that 0-0 draw on Bank Holiday Monday in the local derby there against Whitby Town. But Mask, 2 points off top spot. Cal Jarrett will take that, won't he, in this early part of the season?
I think he would do, yeah. I think he would. Just that setback at Marine on Saturday, the own goal, the only thing separating the teams, the only defeat for Mask so far this season. It's interesting, actually, boss. Both Mask and Whitby suffered 1-0 defeats on Saturday, but seemed to react in very different ways. Where for Mask, it had been the end of a nice unbeaten run that they'd made to the season. It seemed to hit them quite hard. Whereas for Whitby, they've had a terrible start to the season. You know, five defeats on the trot. They seem much more determined. And this match on Monday, the bank holiday match, by the way, with over 1,000 in attendance, a great crowd, 1,133 at Mount Pleasant. It hung on a red card for Mask's Connor Simpson in the first half hour. And from then on, it was really attack versus defence, with Ryan Catrick in the mask go absolutely superb. Albeit amazing double save from Shane Bland of Whitby in the final minute. Mask nearly stole it. I'm not sure how he made the final save. It was incredible. It's one to try and seek out on social media. But Mask will be, I think quite satisfied with the start they've made to the campaign. Us up in the Northeast aren't surprised. They're not a surprise package for us because they've been a very, very strong side for a number of seasons. And of course, there's a number of ex-Whitby players in the Mask ranks, so we know exactly what to expect. We thought they'd do well, and they have.
Just switching things around a bit, Andrew. How important was that 0-0 draw for Whitby Town, do you feel?
I think it's really important for them to just, I think probably a relief. It was strange actually, but at full time, Mask fans that were celebrating and cheering that result. And I think if you'd said that to Whitby supporters before the game, that they'd be cheering a 0-0 draw at home to the bottom team, they'd be surprised, to say the least. But as I said, they played for an hour with 10 men. And I'm sure we've all watched enough football to know that 10 men doesn't guarantee any sort of result for the opposition anyway. But it is seen as a little bit of a moral victory if that team holds out. And it was a matter of holding out. Whitby's problem is they need a striker. Though main striker Brad Fuster was injured in the first 20 minutes of the game on the opening day against Matlock. He was on the bench on Monday, but not fully fit. They're hoping to have him back on Saturday, but there's nobody else that's of that calibre. And I'm afraid to say it should. Whitby missed a host of chances, especially in the second half. Hence the relief from the Mask fans. There'll be some relief from Whitby, I think, that they're off the mark. They've got the first clean sheet of the season as well. And they were good value for it. But a tinge of disappointment that they couldn't get all 3 points.
But saying that, Fuster coming back, that's a big plus heading into this weekend. And we go back to the FA Cup, don't we? And Whitby Town have had some good runs in the FA Cup and the FA Trophy over the years. Bishop Auckland this weekend, that's a tricky tie though, isn't it?
Yeah, they've started very, very well. I think they've scored 25 goals already this season, Bishop Auckland. They've really hit the ground running. And also they're managed by former Whitby boss Chris Hardy. There's plenty in that game, as well as it being a semi-derby, I suppose. It's northeast. But it's two teams with a big history. Of course, Whitby Town and Bishop Auckland have met many times in the league, mainly in the Northern League back in the day, but quite a few in the MPL as well. Should be a really, really good tie and absolutely two divisions between them, but absolutely anything could happen in the FA Cup. Whitby won't be taking that one lightly at all.
And it is really important, isn't it, with you know, that momentum that we touched upon, just to keep it going. And are you hopeful, you know, with Fuster coming back and, you know, getting that clean sheet against, you know, a Mash United side who've scored 11 goals this season thus far in 6 games, so not too shabby going forward. You're hoping that September will bring Whitby Town a bit higher up the table?
Well, I saw them play Stafford Rangers on Saturday, Ben, and Mask on Monday. And at the time, that was the top two. They weren't overawed by either side. Stafford Rangers on Saturday again. Whitby didn't have that cutting edge. Hit the post twice in the same attack in the closing minutes of the second half. Stafford Rangers with a header from across. Very, very solid, very well organised. But Whitby weren't overawed by either of those top two sides. So that, as a Whitby Town supporter, that would encourage me.
And just a final plug, really, Andrew. Just Andrew Stave from Whitby Town Radio joining us this month on the Pitching in MPL show. A quick plug for Whitby Town Radio. Loads of coverage this weekend for the Bishop Auckland game.
Absolutely, yes. I sadly won't be there myself. Spiritually, I will be. But Paul Connolly, Liam Ryder and the team will be bringing you live commentary online. There's a link on the Whitby Town website and on the social media as well on Whitby Town Radio, Whitby Town against Bishop Auckland from 3.
Andrew Stave there, joining us on this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL show. Let's just go to Marine, because we've talked about Mask United there. And, you know, let's talk about another side from Step 4 who's new to Step 3, who's had a decent start to the season. Marine been good.
I think they'll be really pleased. They're another team that's got 3 clean sheets on the board, so it looks like they're going to be nice and solid. A theme we'll have with a couple of teams is that they might have had a couple more points as well, because they've been pegged back. They were 1-0 up with 5 minutes left at Stafford and got turned over 2-1 and very nearly turned over South Shields before South Shields got a late goal when they met. I don't think, you know, that's the rough and tumble of football. I don't think they'll be massively kicking themselves about that. Newly promoted team, 10th after the first month, looking nice and solid. I think they'll be very pleased.
Yeah, good win against Mask as well, in fairness.
Very good.
And finishing off the top half of the table, we have a team in 11th called Hyde United. Birke.
Hello.
How's August been?
Not bad. Not bad at all. I think if we could have 8 points from each block of 6 games, we'd get 54 points at the end of the season. I don't think anyone would really be complaining too much about that. It'd be an okay season, that, I think. However, things are still bedding in a little bit. The formation has changed. We used to play 4-2-3-1, and that is a lot more fluid.
We had Nick Spooner on last week, and you know, he had a good start to his reign at Ewan Fields. Mm. Really did solidify the club. Are you seeing that carrying on then into this season?
It's been a mixed bag, I think it'd be fair to say. We got a little bit unlucky in some results. Ashton United game the other day, for instance. We've hit the woodwork an inordinate amount of times already this season. I think we've hit it in every single game. It's ludicrous. But a little bit of misfortune heading our way in that regard. But we're doing okay. Think, like I say, we're still settling down. Jack Redshaw looks a great acquisition. Adam Dawson too. They seem to have this telepathy between them already. They've both effectively got three roles, which does mean that the other players kind of had to fill in a little bit where they probably wouldn't have had to have done before. So they've got to be a little bit more alert up top. But once they really get the hang of it, Hyde will be absolutely fine this season, no doubt about that.
Well, that's the top half of the table. There's one club that we've deliberately missed, and that's is Geisler, who currently sit 8th, just 3 points from top spot. So that gives you an indication of how close it is after 6 games in the NPL Premier Division. But let's have more now on Geisler as well as Liversidge. And it's a welcome back to the show now to our friend from Yorkshire. Here's Thomas Feeney.
Well, Thomas, a big thank you for joining us. And let's kick a little chat off with Geisler. I was just speaking to you off air. We obviously had Danny on last week, and I can only blame myself, essentially, because it was going pretty well. But then you've come across Stalybridge and Bamber Bridge. However, it's been a good start other than the Bamber Bridge result, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting one because, you know, the first game of the season was a real wake-up call for Geisler, because Marine, just on the day, were the better team, and you know, they won 3-0. It was a convincing win, and for me there was pretty clear asterisks next to it, and that was that key members of the squad weren't available that day. And it was always a case of the next game, which is Morpeth Town away, they're going to be back. And you go through the results and the fixtures and go, right, Morpeth Town away, that'll be no points, their home form's too good, and they take the lead, and you're thinking, you know, 2 games in, 0 points, ain't going to be looking too good. Obviously, turn it around and get a fantastic win. And just start to go on a couple of wins. It just builds that bit of confidence. Scrappy games, of course, because to me, there isn't that chasm between teams where, you know, in certain divisions, you can say, right, 3 or 4 of them teams are going to be miles ahead of everyone else. And, you know, 3 or 4 are going to be really near the bottom. Well, in the NPL Premier, the difference between top and bottom isn't that great. And then gone into the game against Stalybridge, which was a tough game, you know, 0-0. One of those where it kind of just both teams in large parts evened each other out, especially in midfield. And then Monday felt to me a bit of a lesson, because Bamber Bridge are a good team and they are going to be a side that are going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. And it's all about the reaction now, because Stalybridge wasn't a bad point away from home. Then to lose at home to Bamber Bridge, you need that reaction. And obviously, it's now going to be really interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for Nathan Pond, we should say, as well. He's had a good start to the season at Bamber Bridge. And Avro this weekend in the FA Cup for Geisler, finally, on our chat for Geisler. That's a tough game, that one against Avro, even if it is at home.
Well, yeah, it's a tough game. And it's going to be one which could have a really big story attached to it, because last Monday, Stephen Drench, who has played hundreds of games for Geisler, gained promotion with Geisler, you know, there was a poll on the best goalkeeper in Geisley's history, and he was the one that won it. And he made his debut for Avro on Monday. So, you know, I've got to say, I really like the way Avro's manager's done it. He's just basically gone, maybe he'll be there, maybe he won't. We'll keep you guessing. So it is going to be a really tough game because they've been on a great run of form and they've already made their bit of history. They've got through to this stage for the first time ever. But obviously, you know, when a team makes that bit of history, kind of then they can go, right, well, we can enjoy the next game now. And, you know, they've got a good squad there. So it's definitely going to be a tough one. If it went to a replay, which would be Wednesday night at their place, I would be really worried as well because, you know, their home form's really good. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting to see what happens.
Yes. Well, let's nip across the county of West Yorkshire now and go to Liversidge and just have a chat about them. I mean, it's been a tough start for Liversidge. It has been a bit of a baptism of fire, hasn't it, really? It's the take on Ashton United, who've had a good start to the season. They've taken on Bamber Bridge. They had Morpeth when Morpeth started to hit form, you know, an in-form Radcliffe. 1-0 and Stalybridge Celtic have gone hand-in-hand this season, haven't they? It has been a tricky start for Liversidge.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, again, it's that whole thing of just how competitive the division is because, you know, they got a really good win against Whitby Town in a really entertaining game. And that loss against Ashton, you're kind of looking and thinking, well, Ashton are another team who have aspirations to going up. So it's just that thing of they've kind of been on the wrong end of a couple of tight games. And, you know, Stalybridge probably being your best example of that with the 1-0. So it's that whole thing when the season started, it was, this is a club that kind of, and a squad that don't know how to lose. And it's now what happens in terms of making those changes. But, you know, a recent addition in Nathan Cartman, who is somebody who's been there and done it at these levels. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting with them to just see whether they can bounce back and, you know, how good they can bounce back.
I mean, they're taking on Stalybridge, who've got a really good defence. I know they're 13th in the league at the minute, but, you know, they've only conceded 4 goals in those opening 6 matches, which is pretty good. They've got Glossop North End this weekend, and Glossop, they too have had a very good defensive record, haven't they, in this opening month of the season. So I know that we talk about Nathan Cartman, we could talk about James Walshaw, but they need to score, don't they, this weekend? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and it is going to be tough. But I think that's the thing with them is, you know, it would be that thing of you're playing a team who have that a good record, get a few goals, it builds that confidence. But again, it isn't going to be easy. So I think this is the thing for them. If they are to go through, they're definitely going to have to work hard for it because Glossop, they've got a good squad and it'll be just one of those games where it can just give them that little bit of a break. If they can win that, just build everyone up a little bit, then going into the next league games.
Yeah, Glossop, they've conceded 2 goals in 5 matches. They've only scored 3, but that's a tight team, isn't it? We had Stuart Mellish on the show a couple of weeks ago. Well, Thomas Fina, a job well done, my friend. A big thank you for walking us through the 2 West Yorkshire clubs and how their August has gone. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. How could people keep across it all and this busy FA Cup weekend coming up?
Yeah, if you want to be bored rigid, it's at Thomas Fina on Twitter.
Thomas Feeney there, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Burke, you have a question. Is it about Liversidge or is it about Geisley?
Well,
or is it about the glorious county of Yorkshire more generally?
It's that, really. It's a point. Yeah, I mean, it's more about Yorkshire in general, really. Now, I had a lovely tea last night. And
Yorkshire puddings, was it?
No, we didn't have Yorkshire puddings. It was, I can't remember what I had, but it was very nice anyway. But for afters, we had some rhubarb in. And you know what? Eleanor, she went and made a raspberry and rhubarb crumble. And it was outstanding. And we had custard with it and everything.
And for those people unaware of why you brought Yorkshire rhubarb together.
Because, Liversedge is right at the heart of the rhubarb triangle.
Which is a genuine thing, everyone.
Yeah.
A genuine thing.
And this was Yorkshire rhubarb as well. It really was.
All rhubarb is Yorkshire.
Okay. You'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Only in our house.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I don't normally like rhubarb, though, which I know will upset some people, especially over the other side of the Pennines, but this, last night, It was delicious. Stewed so much you couldn't taste it. It was great.
I was waiting for the punchline. There you go.
But yeah, so we covered off the top half of the table. Let's talk about the lower half now. And just a disclaimer, everyone, we do appreciate it's very early on in the season to be discussing this. I mean, we're going to be discussing a series of sides now. We've had okay-ish, patchy starts to the season. Hyde United, same number of points as Matlock. But also yeah. Stalybridge, same number of points. The start Stalybridge have had, that's pretty good, isn't
I
it, really?
Bridge will be pretty pleased with 8 points from six games. Yeah, no doubt about it. They've scored the joint lowest amount of goals in the league, but there's only Lancaster who've conceded fewer. So what Chris Wilcock's doing there is just putting solid foundations in place. It does suggest they're lacking a little bit of creativity. They've got Sabi Abadaki marauding down the flanks and whatnot. He's a good outlet from... They need
a
goals.
A good result, though, against Liverpool.
Great result.
Absolutely.
You know, 1-0 wins leagues and all that. That's what people say,
isn't
it?
Or keeps you up, yeah.
1-0 win against Lancaster as well. Again, anyone going to Lancaster at the moment, getting a result,
well,
bloody playing.
We said in the previous show, and this was it was meant entirely respectfully, that survival for them is success this season. And if they are going to give themselves the best possible chance to stay up, being really hard to beat, which Chris Wilcock teams very often are, is a pretty good place to start. And I said also, they actually do have a guy up top in Correa that can get them maybe the 15-20 goals, but I think Berkey's right, you've got to create the opportunities for him to do that. But it's promising for them.
And what about Bamber Bridge? Back-to-back wins in the league certainly improved matters.
Yeah, a huge weekend for them. 6 points, thank you very much. Completely changes the mood around the club, I would imagine, going into September. Not necessarily that they would have been panicking or anything, but obviously wins do change the mood, and they will be hoping to really kick on now.
Now, at this point of the proceedings, I'd turn to my right-hand side, and there'd be Swampy there, just in the corner, and I'd go, Swampy, what do you think about FC United? And then he'd give us some pearls of wisdom.
Oh, great tenacity from
whoa,
FC,
yeah. but obviously, Swampy's not here, so I'm going to hand over to Simo. Simo, what?
I'm not doing an impression.
No, no.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I mean, can I just put on record? Because I'm going to go from presenter now to pundit with just a blink of an eye kind of thing. But FC United, if they'd won on Monday against Radcliffe, I've got to 10 points, which would be the first time they ever finished August in double figures since the 2006 season.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is the same old story with FC, a slow start. And I just don't understand what you haven't won on the opening day for 10 years or something.
That's
like
a mad
that.
Start, isn't it?
How on earth is that even possible?
On Saturday against Bamber Bridge, I was reading out the half-time scores, and FC were in second at that point. So it's very early days, isn't it? But...
Of course, it's one thing you've got to watch for is Regan Linney. He's catching the eye at the moment. He's scored 5 of FC's 9 goals, and he's excelling in this new central role of his.
We're missing 4 starters at this opening
month
of the season, so it's. I think those goals will get shared around, because you always said, where's your goals coming from? You're missing Griffiths and you're missing Vincent in midfield. That's going to be your midfield gone pretty much.
I know he's not playing anymore, but Potts as well, a big miss. Like, even though he weren't at his best last season, it's still a big hole to fill, isn't it?
Yeah. But let's talk about Gainsborough. They've drawn against High Flying Hyde United, High Flying Stafford Rangers, High Flying South Shields. Good draws.
Great draws.
Another one of the what might have beens. They've been mugged twice in the last minute. Neil Bishop was wincing when he was talking about it after the game at Matlock, because it really was the last kick of the game on Monday. So that's happened a couple of times. That's 4 points they could have had, and where would that have led them? Top five area. So
don't forget they were top of the league within 10 seconds of this opening day.
Yeah, I think they're probably in a little bit of a false position for that reason, because they at the very least would have thought we wanted one more win, and they wouldn't be greedy. They might have won both of those games. So, new management team, loads of new players, not bad at all.
And still only lost once.
Yeah,
and an away win.
Yeah, imagine.
Really early in the season.
Yes,
which that puts a marker down, doesn't it? Right,
it
away.
Was a good one.
So 4 draws for Gainsborough. That takes me to another team who've got 4 draws. Lancaster City. Solid, I think we could say.
Always have been, always will be. next.
And they've got the workings in defence from last year as well, so it just adds into that straight away. Yeah, they're getting the draws, but they've not conceded at the same time. I think they've been one of them teams that have been really, really trying to set up results. A 2-0 win against Gainsborough Trinity, I don't think anyone expected that off from it at the moment. I mean, it's still early in the season.
It's two-thirds of their goals this season as well.
Exactly.
But that's their obvious weak spot at the moment. They're not scoring goals. Defensively, best team in the division. No one even close to them.
What about Atherton Coles?
They've had a bit of a weird start, haven't they? Really? There's a high of an opening day win, and they've had a couple of other really good results. You know, coming back to nick a point at Warrington Town was a great result. But then at home, they've lost all three games, and that's very un-Coles-like. They kind of created this kind of legend around them of how hard they are to beat them. Well, if you look at last season, they did lose quite a few home games last year, so that seems to have carried over. They do need to fix that. They still seem nice and solid at the back, which is obviously what Brad Cook teams are very much built on. They made some good signings in defence as well. I would expect, with having Scott Backer up there, providing they keep him on the field and he don't get injured, that they should get a few more goals this year, although we've not quite seen the evidence of that yet.
And finally, for the league table, because I think we've discussed everyone now, Nantwich Town. We've talked about draws. They've had three of them. Three defeats, obviously, as well. But it's been a solid start, I think we can say.
No, I think they'll be disappointed. And they lost in poor circumstances Monday with a late goal, and that seems to have really put a down on it. I've said this a couple of times, they're a team that need a win in the FA Cup on Saturday as well, I think.
Now, that's our look at the Premier Division. It's been touched upon already, but this weekend it is all about the FA Cup. We're not going to go around the table.
What? Do you want? Come on, you like doing this.
All right. Well, do you know how many fixtures? It's the first qualifying round.
37 fixtures.
Yeah, but come on, just the Premier teams.
All right, just the Premier teams then. Just to say, the Step 4 show, we will be covering Step 4 hugely on Friday. But, all right, just involving the Premier Division sides, just a quick round the table. Ashton United against Ashington AFC.
Team top of the Northern League at the moment. Always a tough ask.
Ashton United always play teams from the Northern League in the FA Cup, don't they? I seem to remember them playing Newcastle, Bedfield. Yeah.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah.
I think, they should do it. They should.
They've got a fancy it. They're in great nick.
Bamber Bridge against Wickham.
Not Wickham Wanderers, by the way, should say. It's Wickham from the North East. Bamber Bridge, this is a good... I'd say it's a good tie for him, but, well, at home it is, anyway. Going up to the North East, not so much.
I just realised as well, Ashington were actually founding members of the Northern Premier League, so a little bit of a...
Oh, welcome back.
Technically.
Gainsborough Trinity against Loughborough Students.
Didn't they have a cracking Vars run last year? Loughborough Students. I think they had.
They beat ABA, didn't they?
They also beat someone from our league in the last round as well.
Yeah, let's say Gainsborough win.
Okay. Geisler against Avro. This is an interesting one. We spoke to Danny Ellis last week about that game against Avro. That's a tough
game. They need
game.
To be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
Banana skin, innit?
Avro had a cracking start to the season. A
lot of clean sheets. Grant Shenton in net for them.
Yeah. Although he might not be Saturday, there's a little nice little line here that he's 50-50 for the weekend, and they had Steve Drench in goal on Monday.
Really?
Avro. Steve Drench is a bit of a Geisley legend.
Yeah.
So he would be probably wanting to fill in again if Shentz doesn't make it.
Wow.
But if Avro win that, they certainly will be flying high, won't they?
Indeed so.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice. I like that.
Oh, yeah. That was good, that, wasn't it?
You should explain for the non-Mancunians.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Really. Rhubarb triangle around Wakefield. Avro, it was a plane factory, wasn't it, in North Manchester?
Yeah. So aren't they called the Wingmakers, aren't they? I don't know.
Lancaster Bomber. That's what they did.
Lancaster Bomber.
Pretty sure.
Lovely. Not anymore. They just play football now.
But they're very good at it.
Liversidge against Glossop North End.
This is a big banana skin there for Liversidge. Glossop have gone on to a flying start.
I've seen Glossop this season. They are super difficult to break down. They've had a great start to the season. They'll be well up for it on Saturday. And if you get them to a replay, I think Glossop will go through.
I've got a sneaky feeling about Glossop, you know. But I've got a soft spot for him too, so.
There you go. Sorry, Liversidge.
Yeah.
Marine against Radcliffe, the all-NPL Premier Division affair.
Again, this big crowd.
Are Marine going to go all the way to round three again? Starting up with your lot.
You never know. But
you said that very gleefully.
I mean, that's one of the games that you could potentially see going to a replay, just because, again, if Radcliffe can get the defence right, it's going to be a tough ask. Marino, a very, very strong attacking side. The defense, I can't think both similar sides, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say replay on that one, personally.
Yeah, I can't call that.
Mask United against Runcorn Linnets. Oh, good to you, actually.
Linnets are fuming. They've got to go to the northeast again. They are convinced that there is a conspiracy that keeps sending them up there. I don't know if there's anything in that, but they are convinced. They've done okay start of the season. I think that's a really tough draw for them.
Morpeth Town against Warrington Town.
Horrible draw for both teams.
Yeah, it is. Home advantage, probably you'd lean to Morpeth, but I don't know.
I think Warrington Water try and get down to a replay.
We already touched upon it, Nantwich Town against Congleton Town. It's a horrible game, that, isn't it? It's a local derby. It's one of the
pick of the ties we've had so far. I mean, Congleton will be right up for it. I mean, they hammered Bootle in the last round after a replay, but I'm told they should have knocked him out in the first game, as we touched on earlier. Nantwich really, really need a win, so they're under pressure Saturday.
Belper Town travelling to Nuneaton Borough. That's a tough game for Belper.
It is, but do fancy Belper for this one. Yeah, it'll suit him well.
I think none of them have really been flying the last couple of years. They got relegated last year because of the points per game thing. So
South Shields against Workington. Workington haven't had the best of starts.
They've had a terrible start.
I've seen them on Saturday. They're not in good nick. They've got injuries. Really disappointing start. I do wonder if it's a little bit of a hangover from last season after nearly winning the league and then getting mugged in the playoffs. So I think South Shields will be comfortable winners there.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a Staffordshire derby at Marston Road. Stafford Rangers taking on Newcastle Town. Newcastle Town have had a decent start to the season.
They've surprised a few people in the West Division so far. They'll be really hard to break down. Stafford will be favourites, obviously, but it might be a lot closer than people think.
Stalybridge Celtic taking on Lancaster City. Is this available on a pools coupon?
Replay. Let's just say they've booked the replay.
Yeah, it's not going to a replay. It's going to penalties.
Atherton Coles travelling to Stocksbridge Park Steels. That seems like a tough, tricky game away from home for the Premier Division team.
Yeah, it does, but it's the kind of game Stocksbridge will want to play as well, isn't it? So, yeah, that's an intriguing tie, that.
Warrington Marlins taking on Hyde United on Saturday in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. Berkey?
I don't think either side's going to be particularly happy about it. So, let's say a draw and we'll see what happens on Tuesday night.
Whitby Town taking on Bishop Auckland. It's a tough game, that one. I know we touched upon it earlier, but it's a tough game, that.
They got to win.
I think they will win.
I think they will.
And finally, for this little chat on the FA Cup ties involving Premier Division sides.
It's gone on a bit, this, hasn't it?
It has. I did say it would. Witton Albion against FC United. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Depends if you're going to jinx it now, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
By phoning John.
I need guests.
Oh, okay.
And I like John.
Well,
and John likes coming
on,
I'm sure.
I'll just say this. FC United's record at Wynchen Park is bit
dreadful.
Dodgy.
I don't think you need my interview.
Witten's best chance is Saturday, because if he goes to replay, I think we've got no chance.
Okay. Right. Well, that's our look at the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. The npl.co.uk, the place to go to for all these fixtures and kick-off times on Saturday. But we should say, James, social media, yes, score updates and all that. On Saturdays, it is resembling Soccer Saturday all of a sudden on the old Facebook page and all that. How could people keep across it all?
Yeah, Twitter at Northern Premier League, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, because all the scores appear on there now as well. And also for this Saturday, even though it is Step 4 and we were speaking to North Shields on that show, they're on TV this week against Bury. So.
Ooh,
they are. Yes.
BBC Sports Services for that one.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching in NPL
this
show.
This one's
all right, I knew that when I said it, and I thought no one will pick me up on it. Thanks, Berkey. anyway, a big thank you for joining us on this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL show, recorded here at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester. Some say Stockport.
It is Stockport.
It is. Okay.
New bus station on the way.
It's shooting up, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's about 13 stories high. I assume the buses aren't going to go that high.
No.
I think they're going to be on a lower level, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. But yes, at the Heat and Hops on Twitter, And a big thank you to Damien for hosting us. But also, a big thank you to Mr. Andrew Simpson for joining us this month.
A pleasure, thank you.
Mr. Ian Burke, from 26-0, big thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ben.
James Hayes, League Social Media Officer.
Thank you, Ben.
And also a big thank you to Mark Carruthers, to Andrew Snaith, and to Thomas Fina. But we're going to go now. Look out for the Step 4 show, also out on Friday. And a big good luck to everyone in the FA Cup this weekend. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.